Low back pain is one of the most common reasons people visit their doctors every year. My guest today is Dr. Dennis Kramer. He's a neurosurgeon and a member of the medical staff at Corona Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kramer. Low back pain, one of the main reasons people stay out of work. What are some of the causes for low back pain?
I'll tell you that one of the most common causes is just age-related wear and tear. You know, someone goes out and does some exercising or just bends over to lift something up and they feel a strain in their low back. And, by and large, most time that resolves within a few hours, but sometimes it can take a little bit longer. And unfortunately, there's those times that, it doesn't go away. And that's the time that where they're sent to a spine surgeon or a neurosurgeon such as myself.
So can people, if they start to feel those pains in their low back in the morning, what can they do for themselves before they would visit a doctor to try and stretch it out a little, get rid of some of that pain?
No, you said exactly what I was thinking. The first thing I'll do is stretching in the morning, just gradual standing and flexing over and getting your hands as far down to the ground as that you can to the floor, and some slow twisting of the spine. That's where I'd start. And most of the back pains can be managed without any prescribed medications. So I'm talking the use of Tylenol or some type of NSAID such as Advil or ibuprofen. And, and maybe even some rest. And I'm not saying strict, laying in a bed or laying on the couch, but probably, holding off on doing any of going and doing your exercises, such as at the gym or long walks. I'd probably wait a few days until the pain subsides.
Do you like ice or heat for a sore back?
I don't think there's any data that says one is better than the other. And in my patients, I tell them to use ice, and if that doesn't work, I'll tell them to put heat on their back, and many times I'll tell them to alternate. I've found through my experience that what works well for one group of individuals works a lot different from others. And so if it does work, if ice works for a certain patient, I'll tell them to keep doing that, and if not, we can try something different. But like I said, I don't think there's any one type of treatment that you can use for everybody. It has to be tailored.
We hear the word stenosis a lot, the sort of catch-all term for kinds of all back pain. What is stenosis? What kinds of conditions do you see in the back that would require seeing a doctor?
Well, I'll tell you, you're right. Stenosis is a phrase or medical terminology phrase that's frequently thrown out there. You see it a lot on MRI reports and so forth, and primary care doctors like to talk about it. But basically, stenosis is when you when the canal or the spinal foramen, where the nerves exit the canal, become pinched, meaning from a disc herniation, or you get a lot of arthritis that is starting to block the exiting of the nerves. And in that way, and that's actually called stenosis. Now, it's the degree of stenosis that people are eventually referred to a surgeon for. And depending on that degree, someone may need to have that operated on to open up and relieve the compressed nerve.
What kinds of tests would you order if somebody suffers from chronic low back pain?
Well, as a spine surgeon, we typically like to divide pain into two different categories. Number one is just pure straight back pain, and the second type is back pain, which affects the exiting nerves in the lumbar spine and result in pain in the legs, and we often refer to that as sciatica. And if someone has straight back pain, we'd start off on getting some X-rays of the lumbar spine. And a lot of times I'll have the patient lean forward and lean back and get an X-ray to see if there's any abnormal movement of the bones in the spine, because that abnormal movement itself can result in the pain. But once the X-rays are done and we prescribe treatment based on that. It might be a short course of physical therapy. And if they're still having issues or they're having sciatica-like symptoms, and then probably the next test I would order is an MRI scan. And MRI scans are really good for looking at soft tissue. And when I say soft tissue, what I'm looking for are the discs itself. I'm looking to look at the nerve roots and the spinal cord itself, as well as the amount of ligamentum and nerve pinching. Because those kind of things, those soft tissue structures, you can't really see on X-rays. X-rays are more to look at spinal alignment and to look for fractures or any other type of a bony pathology.
When we're looking at some treatments for low back pain, people hear about epidurals, they hear about steroid injections, either orally or injected. Tell us, when do those come up?
Well, I typically order quite a few epidural steroid injections. They're mostly indicated for people that have sharp shooting pains into the legs, and also known as sciatica, or the other word that's kind of interchangeable with that is radiculopathy. And basically, radiculopathy means that there's pain, there's pressure on the nerves, and it's sending pain down the leg. And since there's a lot of inflammation around the nerve itself, you can we'll go ahead and take a needle, put the needle right where the nerve is being pinched, right where it's being inflamed, and inject a small amount of steroid medication. And as people may know or may not know, that a steroid is a very powerful anti-inflammatory medication. So it reduces the amount of swelling and irritation around the nerve itself. Okay, so most of the time, patient will experience a significant reduction in the amount of pain after an epidural steroid injection. Now, the thing is that you can only have so many injections because it's a steroid, so you don't want to keep going and getting injection after injection because of the drawbacks and side effects of steroids. And sometimes some steroid injections don't last as long as we want them to. Okay, steroid injections are typically only indicated for someone with a more acute or subacute pain, meaning someone might have sciatica, but if it's been over 3 or 4 or 6 months, a steroid injection might not provide enough long-term treatment than more than for a few days or a few weeks. So you have to weigh the risk and benefits and pros and cons of epidurals.
What can they do prevention-wise? While it may not be possible to prevent low back pain, are there some lifestyle modifications you'd like to recommend to help with that sort of pain?
Well, yes, there are, and we talked about one of those. I think that stretching is very important, and to do stretching, even if you don't have pain, I think that helps. But I think one of the biggest risk factors for low back pain and degenerative changes are smokers. So when I have a patient that comes in, the number one thing I'll tell them is they got to stop smoking, because not only is it very important for someone's overall health, but studies have shown how smokers have very bad backs. And what I mean by that is, as we get older, we get degeneration and bone spurs and arthritis in our joints in the back, and that's just the normal process of age-related wear and tear. But smokers seem to have it accelerated degenerative changes, and that's what we try to stay away from. So that's the number one thing about people that smoke, that it really is hard on the spine itself. And another treatment to help prevent is the type of activities you do. If you're doing a lot of activities where you're twisting your spine, such as a sport, particularly in golfers, it's really hard on the joints in the back. And many times when I see these long-standing golfers that come in and their backs show severe degeneration. So I just try to counsel them on the need to just be very careful with the type of activities they do.
What about proper lifting techniques?
Yeah, I go over that with my patients about the way to lift, and more to bend the knees and kind of bend the pelvis so much, not so much, you know, hump over and bend over for your back when you're lifting heavy objects. Because when you're in a bent over, forward bent position, and you're trying to lift a heavy object, that puts an immense load on the pressure in our joints and in our disc in the lumbar spine. And repetitively doing that over a long period can cause some serious damage and, you know, a reason why patients are finally referred to their family doctor, or their family doctor refers them to their local neurosurgeon for evaluation.
In just the last few minutes, Dr. Kramer, what should people with low back pain think about when seeking care?
I think the first thing that they should seek is that they need to find a doctor that they feel comfortable with, that is going to treat them in a very logical, methodical way, and starting from A and then finishing at Z, and just go step by step.
And why should they come to Corona Regional Medical Center for their care?
Oh, I think the physicians at Corona, do exactly that. They start off with, behavioral techniques that we talked about, proper stretching, proper lifestyle changes. If that doesn't work, the next step would be see if the patient is a candidate for epidurals or for physical therapy, or chiropractic manipulation. And then, and if that doesn't work and there's still ongoing pain and pathology, then that's when you start doing x-rays and imaging studies such as an MRI scan and possibly even nerve studies. By that time, if they've been down that trail and they're still not getting better, then many times the primary care physician will go ahead and send them to myself for evaluation.
Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to Corona Regional Radio with Corona Regional Medical Center. For more information, you can go to coronaregional.com. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of Corona Regional Medical Center. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.